You come to a town completely devoid of people.
Tonight, let's add some story and depth to a town as we populate it with interesting characters.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about populating a town with NPCs.
We've done a couple of world-building episodes lately, and tonight what we're going to do is a fun exercise based off of kind of our exercise in World Building 101,
sure,
the previous episode. So tonight we're going to build out some NPCs in four different locations. We're going to have a waypoint.
We're going to have a hometown.
We have a major metropolis.
And we also have a plot point or location.
That's right. There's a lot of different reasons why we would create an episode specifically on just creating NPCs for a couple of locations. First off, A, somebody requested us do this.
Right. I was asked if we could do what, and we like making NPCs.
Yeah, we aim to please, right? Cities and towns don't exist without people in them, so it's kind of important to have that. And as a DM, you need to know how to make NPCs.
It's tough to role play with an empty building.
And finally, we just enjoy world building.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And you're going to enjoy it with us as well. Let's dive in, shall we, Matt?
Let's.
How would we get started, first off?
There are going to be a few questions that you need to ask yourself to determine what sorts of NPCs you need.
Okay.
What is the purpose of this town or location?
So the location type that
right,
we're building for.
Yeah.
And this can be, as we mentioned, it doesn't have to be these four. It could literally be a dragon's cave.
It could.
Or a monster city. That'd be kind of fun to come up with NPCs for a monster city.
We really need to just live stream building a monster
city. That's
going to
be its whole episode.
Yep.
We're going to do a whole episode on just NPCs for a monster town. Starting towns are good. Quest locations, plot points, hometowns, anything really story related for your characters.
In some cases, if you have had a very combat heavy game, and you just want the stopping point to be filled with people that your players can actually get the opportunity to roleplay with because they've just been bashing for the whole episode.
Got to have some NPCs.
You got to have some people.
Yeah, got to have some people. How long will the characters be staying in the location? That's another question you want to ask yourself, because if they're only going to be rolling into town for the evening, you just need the barkeep and a couple of villains they can rough up.
Well, and also you don't need the characters to have a four-page backstory, right?
Right.
It's just not necessary.
We prefer the KISS method. Keep it simple.
How invested do you want the players to be in the location?
Some of this can depend on the players themselves.
Sure.
As we're very much aware, you will come up with a ridiculous NPC at some point in your DM career, and you will find the players adopt that NPC and buy it things.
Yes. Creating NPCs while sleep-deprived will create a train of people who follow your party along.
Kind of like the door golem that I had named Dave.
Andy
the door golem.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he was cool. He just wanted to chill out, catch some waves. Don't know why the door golem was a surfer, but
I don't either. Man, you can't come in.
Man, everyone just kind of just get along, all right? I'm acting as the jail cell door now.
Exactly.
He was so cool. So simply put, the more important this location is, the more invested you need to be in the people that are in this location.
Yep. You've got to make it interesting. You've got to have your players want to be there.
Absolutely.
Something else to think about is what story hooks do you want to inject into this town?
And when we say town, it doesn't have to be town. It could be outside the town. So it could be in the region.
Sure.
So maybe like the farmlands or surrounding countrysides.
It could very well be city-based. Maybe they're undead in the graveyard or what have you.
And if you want to start smaller, which we often recommend when you're building a city out anyway, start with people. Come up with a couple of people. Have those story hooks for specific individuals in your location. The barkeep. Barkeep always has a good quest for you.
Gotta love a good barkeep.
They're all ex-adventurers, man. They got a sword behind the bar. They've got a stick and a shield called Law and Order.
I was thinking, can you imagine starting a campaign with a murdered barkeep?
That'd be horrible. Adventurers from miles around would seek the murderer.
The town just gets flooded with adventurers, and that's half of what the players have to deal with.
How dare they? Yeah, they have to deal with the adventurers seeking revenge,
yeah,
and they also have to figure out what the murderer who actually killed the barkeep. That'd be amazing. I love that idea.
All while dealing with the economic collapse of the town because of all of the gold that has come flooding
in. It's the only bar in town. It's a small town. And it's the only bar in town. And all the job boards were posted there, so they've closed up the shop. Barkeep's daughter closed it up, right?
That would be wild.
She can't handle it. She's like, we gotta get to the bottom of this.
Sure.
Maybe people are paying for his res. Because why wouldn't he?
You can't have all of these adventurers like roaming the countryside with no place to drink. That's a bad plan.
Yeah, it'd be chaos everywhere. So when you're creating an NPC, you really only need a couple of things. Matt, what are some of the qualities you need for your NPC?
A name is a good place to start.
Always helps. And there are name generators for those of you who can't name PCs like myself.
Right.
I'm terrible at that.
Just hit up the name generators, make a huge list of different types of names, and that way you'll have them handy.
You also need some sort of description, right? What do they look like? Species, gender, maybe what kind of clothes they're wearing.
Size.
Yeah, some kind of expression on their face.
Speaking of which, emotion or personality towards the PCs.
Right. So some examples might be like the gruff barkeep.
A plucky newbie adventurer.
The battle-worn and recently drowned paladin.
Now, these are just adjectives, but usually when you use certain adjectives, there's a mental picture that comes with them.
And that's what we're going for.
Right.
We want a mental picture of that character in just a quick sentence. No, you know, you don't have to write War and Peace here, just a couple of words so that the people who are playing get an idea in their head of who they're dealing with.
Right. There's no need to Robert Jordan this. Just keep it simple.
Well put.
Something they should have is some kind of goal.
Goals are interesting. What do they want? It can be one thing, or you can have a couple of goals just in keep in mind. Maybe they want world peace. Maybe they just want to get a drink from the player characters and they'll give out their secrets, right?
Maybe they're just trying to retire.
They've seen too much. They've already had to fight a predator. And this is his last day on the job.
Sure.
And
they're getting too old for this.
Shady Los Angeles.
Yep.
Yeah. There's fires everywhere. Finally, you need some sort of quirk.
Quirks can be not just personality quirks. They could be magical quirks. They could be
behaviors.
Plot quirks, behaviors. Just something that makes them a little different than the people around them. And in some cases, a lot different.
It's something that stands out when you're describing the scene for your characters. Maybe the guy in the back of the bar, he's flipping a coin between his fingers.
Yeah, he's just dexterous. That's just his nervous habit.
Or maybe he is just silently carving something, some sort of arcane sigil into the bar. That's a whole different kind of feeling when you get that.
Maybe he's just an old man coal carver.
Oh, he's carving some coal. Yeah. Good call back from our,
our fantasy winter episode?
I think so, yeah. So think about a quirk. It could be something, again, behavioral. It could be magical. Maybe they're secretly a monster. Doesn't matter. And then if you really want some history for your NPC, you can write it. But just remember, you don't need it unless the NPCs do a deep dive.
Right. If you're going to stay there for a while, then make up some history for your NPCs. If the players are going to be gone in the morning, don't bother.
If the PCs adopt the rogue Modron that just happened to tag along with your party, give it some history. They're going to adopt the rogue Modron, by the way. Why wouldn't you? It's chaotic.
Sure.
It's got all kinds of crazy stuff in its compartments.
I remember.
It's a slod secretly controlling the Modron from within.
The tiny pink slod?
It's a tiny little pink slod. Just cranking gears in that Modron and no one suspects a thing. That would be amazing.
That would be great.
I'm putting that in my game. That's canon now, my friends. Rogue Modrons have tiny little slots in their brains just pulling gears. That's awesome.
All right. Let's give some examples of NPCs and a location type.
Okay. The first most common type of location type is a waypoint, someplace in between someplace else.
In a lot of games, your players are traveling from place to place, and they stop someplace for the evening, right?
Could be a tavern, could be a battlement, you know, like a military type encampment.
I mean, it could be a haunted, abandoned mage tower, but that doesn't help for this.
It could be. It could be populated by NPCs.
Oh, nice.
That'd be kind of fun.
It would be.
So let's, but we'll go with the one horse town motif, right?
Sure.
The way station. In general, you'll often have a stable.
Right.
Because people have horses in fantasy games.
And when you ride up, the first person you are likely to come into contact with is the stable hand.
Yep. And by the way, for all of these NPCs, we've got a little bit of personality, some goals, and some quirks. Feel free to use this stuff and change it however you like.
Yeah. A lot of times you can match quirks with goals or with personalities, but you don't need to.
Now, you can
you can make those very widely.
You can roll a chart, mix and match, come up with something on your own.
Traditionally, stable hands tend to be young people. Once again, that is a trope you can keep or throw right out.
You can have an old stable hand if you want. That's fun, too.
Back in my day, the horses were bigger.
That's right. I used to shoe 50 horses both ways in the snow.
So, personalities for these guys. What if they're scared of animals, but this is their job?
Or scared of the adventurers, because they're adventurers.
Sure.
They could be shy.
Of course. They're more comfortable around animals than people. Makes sense. They could be super friendly.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing? They could be filthy, because they're around animals. Yeah.
Or they could just be secretive. Just like furtive, always like peeking around corners and stuff.
So, these personalities are vastly different, and they should give you a mental image of what this stable hand looks like.
Yeah.
Notice we're not doing a full description at all. That's for you to come up with. What are some goals that a stable hand might have?
If they really like working with animals, maybe they want to own their own ranch someday.
Mm, maybe they just want to get away from the stable.
Yeah, maybe they don't like being here.
Filthy. They're tired of being, they want a bath and get the hell away.
Maybe they want to meet a unicorn. They want to meet even crazier animals.
Mm-hmm. And if they're a young person, they just want to get laid.
It's a driving animal goal.
That is 100% true. Now let's talk about some quirks for the stable hand.
Maybe they're an animal whisperer.
Oh, they just know what's wrong with the animal just by looking at him and talking to them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love the idea that this is, when I wrote this down, my first thought was they can actually speak with animals, but they don't understand them.
I think it'd be hilarious if one of the adventurers rolled in on an owlbear and the stable hand just kind of, without even missing a beat, starts, you know, brushing its feathers or doing whatever. And like, you're a good boy, aren't you? And the owlbear just understands. You're like, PCs are like, this has never happened.
Normally he tries to eat the stable hand and the stable band's like, who's a good owlbear?
Yeah. A fun opposite could be they're surprisingly bad with animals.
I love the idea of like the most docile horse is still trying to bite the crap out of this poor guy.
He's got like a bruise on his chest where the last horse kicked him.
Yep. Maybe they're a sneak thief.
Steal your stuff in the middle of the night from your saddlebags. Or they could just be a drunk.
Why not?
Why not? Next up, you might have the proprietor or owner of a tavern or inn.
I mean, you're going to have to stay somewhere.
What kind of personalities are we talking about, Matt?
There's the whole variety of human existence, right? But maybe you've got somebody who's just really gruff.
Yeah,
gruff. Like, what do you want?
Gruff innkeeper. Yep. Like that.
Mothering. Like, oh, it's so nice of you to visit.
I love that you're doing the voices along with this. This is great.
Yeah.
You could also have miserly, right? Some penny pinching.
Sure. That comes with the Scrooge McDuck voice.
Yes. And then suspicious. Because if you're surviving as the proprietor of a tavern at a waypoint, you're probably suspicious of everyone.
Sure. Especially depending on where this tavern is located.
The next monster could roll through and be disguised as a human.
If you're in the Badlands or out in the hinterlands, he doesn't even hide the weapon under the bar. It's literally just sitting on the bar with his hand on it.
That's right. Some common goals that a proprietor or innkeeper might have would be to just retire.
Maybe they're a former adventurer who wants to go on one more adventure.
That'd be fun. Bring the PCs along. They could franchise the bar. That might be a fun goal. Maybe they'd like to establish another Drunken Giant bar.
I was just thinking that. But have you been to the one in Waterdeep?
Yeah, let's see if it's great.
Maybe they want to stop a curse. Just they know about it, and they're just trying to get people to stop it.
One of their loved ones is cursed, or maybe they know about a curse up in those hills. Don't go out there. You never know. That curse will turn your head all the way around backwards, just like my old man.
Yeah.
Now he sits in the back of the bar, whittling coal.
There's werebadgers in them air hills.
You see this old guy just rocking back and forth in front of the fire, but his head is turned around backwards, staring at you menacingly.
Sure.
A lot of fun. You'd also have serving folk. These are people that do all of the actual works, and that could also be cooks.
And those people tend to have a lot of personality about them.
Mm-hmm. Some common personality quirks could be flirty.
Sure. I mean, that's like the huge trope. Maybe they're just busybodies, right? Just constantly moving around the bar, what have you.
They could be sassy.
Of course.
Have a viperous tongue.
I was literally thinking about half of the Waffle House waitresses and waiters that I've known over the years.
I totally agree. Yes. They've got to have goals. One might be to learn bard craft. That's kind of fun. Maybe they want to be a bard.
It was my Piano Man reference. Maybe they're just trying to find a rich spouse. That's why they're working here.
Or just see the world. Common quirks. The serving folk knows a cantrip. That's kind of cool.
I figured if they're trying to learn to be a bard, maybe they picked up a little something.
Maybe they're a wizard and they know prestidigitation and they're really good at cleaning.
They're the best server. What if they're a spy, though?
That would be a lot of fun.
Working at a waypoint would be a brilliant way to collect information.
You also have general store merchants at a waypoint or traveling merchants sometimes. And both of those have kind of similar personalities I would see in my head.
That could make sense.
Greedy is a good one.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Generous on the opposite side of that coin.
Sure.
Curious.
Curious would be kind of interesting, and that would be fun to see how they interact with the PCs.
Now, these are going to be, because they're merchants, goal-driven people to some level anyway. What if they're just trying to retire to the big city?
Oh, yeah. Just make enough money to get a nice house in the major metropolis?
That way they don't have to do riding through the wilderness anymore. They can just lay out, enjoy the garden, what have you.
Maybe they want to provide opportunity for someone, like a child or something like that. That would be kind of cool. Goes with the nice merchant, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about quirks. I like the idea that maybe they just, in their downtime, work on inventing stuff.
That would be neat. That would be fun for the tinkerers, the traveling tinkers as well. Mm-hmm. They just make different things. And what a cool storyline that would be. Maybe they've made something for the PCs to try out.
Oh, nice R&D.
Yeah, a little side quest action going on.
I love that idea. I didn't even think about that. What if they're just, you walk into this shop and it is super orderly and spotless.
And our murder hobos screw it all up.
Oh, dear.
How delightful. Also, at a waypoint, you would have a rumor monger.
Yes.
Just someone that just talks about stuff.
They're sitting around at the bar all day chatting with all of the people.
Some personalities could be drunken. That's always fun.
Brazen.
Mm-hmm. Silent.
That's difficult for a rumor monger, but...
Well, maybe they pass notes.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And probably nosy.
Yes, because they know everything about everything.
Right.
Some of the goals, they want the PC to investigate, insert side quest.
Right, whatever the rumor is.
Yeah, go insert that haunted graveyard.
They are info merchants. They just want coins for information.
Cash money. Or maybe they want help to get somewhere. Maybe they're stuck here and they want to get to the big city, or they want to get to, I don't know.
Anywhere else.
Anywhere except where they're at.
Yep. Quirks could include, they could just be a liar. They're making all of this stuff up.
This is perfect for a rumor monger, being a liar. I also love the idea that maybe they're prophetic.
That could be fun. What if they're a monster in disguise?
Yeah. They're totally monsters in disguise. Maybe the rumors that they're talking about this abandoned building that has all this treasure is because they're the monsters and their mate is in the building.
And they're sending people to stock the larder, basically?
Absolutely.
Or they no longer get along with their mate and they're sending somebody to kill them.
That'd be hilarious,
You're
too.
In the middle of a family dispute.
I mean, sometimes it takes a murder to fix a family. We're going to dive off this train of thought for just a second with what, Matt?
It's time for the question of the week.
Okay, what you got for me this week for the question of the week?
This one's tenuously connected.
Tenuously, huh?
Since we're fleshing out of town, give me one great secret in a city that you are either currently building or have built.
I've got one in a city that I've built that you actually played in.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know. I don't remember the city's name right now, but it was the city of... lore keepers, mm-hmm. And it was a great library where they collected information across the realm. And deep beneath the grand library, in a vast tomb of underwater caverns, there lurked an aboleth.
Yeah, and he was grand librarian.
He was the grand librarian. And yeah. What happened was is all of the lore masters would accumulate knowledge over time, and right before they died, they would receive the greatest blessing of all. They would be devoured by the aboleth. And all of their knowledge would be absorbed by the aboleth.
Yep.
And so they would be preserved for eternity. because it was down there since the seas ran over the land.
Yeah.
That's the great secret. It's a big lore keeper and is very erudite aboleth.
Friendly.
Friendly even, yes. Yeah. I mean, he did eat the lore keepers too, so.
But for purpose.
Nourishment. But also for lore, yes.
Right.
What about yourself?
So I have been considering having a little kid in one of the cities that I'm making who is having prophetic dreams, but because he's a little kid, he keeps telling people in a little kid way, so nobody believes him. And it's going to take time for people to pick up on the fact that everything that he's saying is happening.
He's currently predicting the apocalypse or some great war. And everyone's like, all right, kid, just go back to bed. Drink your Ovaltine. And
he's having nightmares.
Every night.
Yep.
Yeah. And the signs start coming, streaking across the sky.
Exactly.
There's like, I'm sorry. I just picture like the moon turns red, but he's already had that dream. And people are starting to pick up, wait a minute, where did we hear that from? Meanwhile, the kid's tugging at his...
That's the one!
Yeah, he's tugging at his trousers. He's trying to tell him what's going on. He's like, shut up, kid.
Yep. That's exactly how I picture it.
We need adventures to figure this stuff out. That's great. I love that. We're always interested in your answer to the question of the week. And if you have one, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on all of the various socials. And of course, if you're watching YouTube, you can do what, Matt?
You can comment down below. It's what it's there for.
That's right. So we're talking about populating a town with colorful and interesting NPCs. And we've already done the first location, which was a waypoint.
Sure.
Now we're going to talk about a character's hometown, because out of the various places you're going to throw into a D&D game, their hometown should be one of them.
I agree.
They're lots of fun. So in addition to the characters we've already described, you could also have a couple other characters in a hometown. And the first one you've got here is a mayor or some person in charge, right?
Right.
So describe the personality for me, Matt.
You could have them be friendly, like out shaking hands and kissing babies, what have you. Maybe they're just super busy. They're always in the midst of something.
Mm-hmm.
They could be super aloof because they're the mayor of this town.
And all three of those personalities, vastly different types of looks and feels, right?
Yep.
I like these goals that we wrote down for a mayor. Gain power, money, or reputation. That tends to be anybody in power, really.
Sure. They could be trying to expand the influence of the town.
Maybe it's a small town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your hometown, and the PCs would be invested in expanding the town as well. Again, insert side quest, folks. Particularly for low-level adventurers, this would be great.
I also like the idea that this guy got elected to the top position so he could just relax.
Just to chill.
Yeah, just delegate everything.
Yeah, I love that. Here's some fun quirks. Secretly a doppelganger or evil twin.
Sure. Right off rip. Let's make him the bad guy.
Make him a monster.
Maybe he enjoys the hobbit leaf.
Mm-hmm.
That ties into the goals of just relaxing.
Taking a little sticky icky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe he hates the job, but keeps getting voted in. Nobody else wants the job. That would be the best part. He wants to quit, but no one else will take the job because no one wants to be the mayor.
And so every time there's an election, he doesn't put his name in and still gets voted in.
That's right. How delightful. Some other authority figures like cops or guards, captain of the guard. These are also NPCs you'll run into a lot of times. Personality-wise, angry seems to be a good defining trait.
Very true. Especially the captain of the guard.
Yeah.
I picture all the 80s movies where like one of the cops has gone rogue and the captain's like, don't tell me that's crap.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just very well kept though.
Oh,
clean, orderly. Yeah.
Sure. They could be corrupt.
Always a possibility.
They could also be holy, which would be a fun opposite. Maybe they're a holy knight of some sort.
Would make perfect sense. What if they're just surprisingly helpful?
In a hometown, this is great. The PCs enter the town and they're like, where would we find a jewelsmith? Oh, I know where. I can help you with that. Gives you this long description, and the PCs are looking at the guardsman going, I don't know about this guy. He's super helpful. Seems suspicious.
Just follow me. I'm Officer Bob, by the way.
What are some goals of this authority figure type?
I mean, logically, one of them could be just to keep people out of trouble.
Maybe they could do as little as possible. That's a good goal. Not a great goal for an authority figure, but seems typical for people.
Maybe they're just cruising to get in fights with everybody. They're just one of those people who repress rage, and that's their whole purpose.
So rough somebody up.
Yep.
Along with their personality, we also have some quirks, one of which I love is they have a third eye. Doesn't have to be on their head, by the way.
Nope. I like the idea that they're never going to bring it up. You have to ask.
Yes. Or maybe that's a rumor that they have a third eye, but nobody knows where it is. That'd be a fun character rumor for a quirk.
Sure. What if they're a failed paladin or cleric?
That'd be kind of cool. Maybe they drink whenever someone mentions Odiugs. Don't go down to the sewers. I've seen things that...
Seen terrible things.
You never understand. Friends and family members are also an NPC that characters will often encounter. These are usually played to assist with character development. And we must stress this point.
When you are talking about the family and friends of your PCs, you need to discuss where you are going with these NPCs.
Yeah, this should be part of your session zero at some point before the game is played.
Yeah.
There could be all kinds of personalities in your friends and family. Here's a couple of examples. Caring. That could be an easy personality trait.
Yeah. If they have a less than stellar relationship, maybe they're just horrible people.
Just bad people, right? Bad siblings, bad parents, and bad relatives.
Yeah.
Could be self-absorbed.
They could be sickly and dying.
Dying, yeah. Have a dying mother, dying great aunt. Moving on to goals, a great goal could just be for them to get cured.
What if they're trying to pay back a debt, whether it's a debt to a lender or a debt to one of the PCs that saved them when they were kids or what have you?
That would be a lot of fun.
Now, we intentionally left the quirks blank on this because, once again, this is something, like, I feel like the PCs should fill in the blanks on what makes these NPCs interesting or different.
So our recommendation is to base that on maybe the character that's playing, or you could go in the opposite direction as well.
Sure.
If you've got a warlock that's summoning infernal packs, maybe the
they came from an uber religious home.
That would be a lot of fun, right? Or maybe they're all infernal worshipers, right?
Sure.
That also is, they've got a pet imp that lives around the house, sits in the fireplace.
If you're have a player that's playing a sorcerer, maybe everybody in the family knows a cantrip.
Another NPC in a hometown is a former master. Personality wise, they can run the gamut, but disappointed seems a good personality for your former master because you've run off to become an adventurer.
Yep. On the other hand, if your former master was a former adventurer, maybe they're very proud.
Mm-hmm. They could also be protective of you.
And remember, when you see the werewolf, it's silver. It's not gold.
Right? I packed you an extra lunch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some goals of your former master could include retirement.
Sure.
That's, by the way, is everyone's goal at some point in a game.
Mastery of a skill.
Yeah.
Like if you're, especially if you're a blacksmith apprentice or like a craftsperson's apprentice.
They could also create a legacy. Maybe they're looking for you to become that legacy. What are some quirks, Matt?
Maybe they're a perfectionist, which is why you left. Right? They're just
possibly.
Maybe they're extremely experimental in whatever it is they're doing.
Maybe they're just bored. They've mastered their skills so much that they're just bored. They seek a true challenge.
Yep.
One final NPC that's always fun in a hometown is a rival or a group of rivals.
Yes. For personalities, they could be jealous of the players.
Mm-hmm.
They could be fake friendly.
Oh, they could be assholes. That sucks.
Or it could be an actual friendly rivalry.
Yeah, maybe they're both working towards the same thing.
Yep.
I'm going to be a better martial artist than you or whatever.
And that flows right into goals. Their goal might be to beat you.
Mm-hmm. Or be better than you.
Or simply to be the most famous or the best at a thing, which requires them to be better than you.
And this could turn out to be a fun NPC in that later on in the campaign, they might come back and you have this really awesome, I don't know, like death scene where one of them gets killed.
Or they could be an awesome ally.
A powerful ally, yeah. Maybe you become a famous adventurer and maybe they take over the city. Right? Or lead it.
Sure.
And so now you've got someone to help you out, right? That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, those are all really good. Some quirks can include they're dedicated because they want to be better than you.
They could just be lazy and they're rivals because they're jealous of you.
And then a final one that we have is a secret admirer. Maybe they look up to you secretly, but they'll never admit it.
Yep.
That's every anime rivalry that I see in my head.
That was completely intentional.
Yeah. Our third location is some sort of quest or plot area. And this can be, depending upon where you are, a lot of different places. And we've got two NPCs in mind for this. And we could have done a lot more, but
depending on what you've got going on in your game, there's like hundreds, thousands of options. We're just giving out a couple of ideas to give you, you know, something to work with.
Exactly. So the first one we have is a mystic old man on the mountain. This can be often a NPC that delivers information or enlightenment, and they're usually in some kind of remote location.
Right. Doesn't have to be a mountain.
Right. Could be in a dirty sewer.
Depths of a forest. Anywhere.
In the belly of a whale.
Yes.
That would be kind of, do you see an aesthetic just living in the belly of a whale? There's Sahagin hanging out. They're all playing cards.
Feeding off of plankton soup.
Precisely. Personality-wise, we find contemplative is often a good personality trait for a mystic.
You could really switch it up, though, and make them very, very brash. Just, What are you doing here? What do you want?
Or serene. That's another good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like the brash one, though. And then I'll also kind of double up and say, since they live by themselves, they might be filthy.
Sure. Just
completely unwashed.
Mm-hmm. As for their goals, the most common one would be to seek enlightenment.
Or teach others. That's another good one.
Another option is to avoid people like the plague.
Because they're a mystic, they're trying to seek enlightenment. They don't want to be around others.
Right.
And you have to find this individual.
They want to be a hermit.
Quirks. All kinds of fun quirks with a mystic. I like the trope of maybe having a super long beard and there's like animal bones or something stuck in it from their last meal.
Sure. Maybe they're a nudist.
Oh, yeah. They just go in the buff.
Yeah, they eschew worldly clothing.
Maybe they talk about unladen swallows and airspeed. What is your quest?
I do like the idea that the old wise man that somebody has sent you to is just absolutely batshit.
Just completely bonkers.
Yes.
Talks in riddles. Another interesting quest type NPC is a dragon.
Sure.
Surprise, we're throwing a dragon in tonight. And in this case, the dragon is most likely a patron, a rival, or a powerful ally. Because if it's an assailant, it's no longer an NPC, it's an encounter.
Right.
What kind of personality do dragons have, Matt?
They are often arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the type of dragon, they might actually be lonely.
And that would be a really cool kind of mental picture of this lonely dragon. Particularly like brass dragons. They like to chat.
Emerald dragons also.
Loud, because they're big.
Sure.
Maybe they speak really loudly. It just echoes throughout the chamber or their cavern.
Maybe they're gregarious.
Talk you to death.
Yep.
Brass dragons, definitely. I get you like that. Common goals could include acquiring fat loot. All dragons like loot.
Maybe they're just trying to find another dragon to make babies with.
It's entirely possible.
What if they're trying to open a portal to
someplace?
Yeah. The plane of unlimited loot.
Maybe they just want to own the fucking world. Just want to be, just control everything.
Typical red dragon behavior.
That's right. Fun quirks can include spell tattoos on their scales.
That could be fun.
That was actually a template in third edition.
Mm-hmm. What if they speak in rhymes or riddles?
Maybe they have a filthy, and I mean filthy cave.
Like filthy enough that there's Odiugs living in the cave?
Yes. And my favorite quirk, which we were laughing about earlier, they care for many different cats.
They have a whole horde of cats.
This is awesome, by the way. Can you imagine? The adventurers roll in, and you see this dragon just setting out tiny little bowls of milk and food for their cats. Hundreds of cats. And I love what you said earlier.
It's not all small cats. It's anything cat-like.
Yeah, cats, tigers, smilodons, lynx.
Tressum.
Sure, there's Tressum flying around.
The occasional tabaxi.
Just pooping everywhere. God, what a great mental picture. They're clawing just everything.
Yeah, there's like a billion gold couch in the corner that has just been shredded
completely
and tattered.
Demolished. Yep. Cat hair and fur balls everywhere. There's a furball elemental being summoned by all the cats.
Nice.
Finally, we have our last location of the evening, a large metropolitan city. Big city.
Understand that these large metropolitan cities can include literally everything that we've listed up to this point.
And more.
And more.
That's right. We've got a couple that we think are fun to include in terms of NPCs. The first one is, hey, you're in a big city, you're going to see some street urchins.
Yep. Dirty children that see and know everything.
Personality-wise, they could be chipper or quick-witted.
They can act a lot older than they appear. They've seen a lot of things.
That's right. What kind of goals would an urchin have, Matt?
Survive another day.
Yeah. Get some food in their belly. Maybe they want to become a master thief. That'd be a fun story arc. Maybe they follow the NPCs around.
What if they're trying to get revenge for their murdered parents?
Yeah, maybe they involve the PCs in that, and then it becomes, again, another side quest, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of, like, the origin story.
Of Batman? Well, yeah, maybe they want to be Batman. That'd also be great, too. Some fun quirks that an urchin might have. I love this first one. Might be a serial killer.
So hear me out. They want to get revenge on the people that killed their parents, right?
Uh-huh.
They don't know who killed their parents.
So they're murdering
everybody.
Just
got to murder everybody.
Murdering their way to the top. I also think it's hilarious that they might secretly be a fey in disguise.
Sure.
They're often tiny.
Yep.
Imagine like an oversized sprite.
They skip when they walk. They're just...
just happy.
Yep. They're just happy to be here.
And the ancient trope, they're actually royalty in disguise. Getting their jollies.
Mix and match. They're a royal serial killer.
Sure. That could be fun, too.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper it.
I like the idea of a guild leader as an NPC as well. A big boss, big business, right?
Sure.
This is an NPC you'll often see in a large town. What are some personality traits of a big boss or guild leader?
A lot of times you see the one that's just slothful, right?
The slothful trope, the big, heavily obese.
I finally made my way here. Now I'm not doing anything else.
Got nothing but gold rings and gold silks and everything, just over gold.
Cruel is another common one.
Tyrant, yeah. Yep. They could also be droning. Maybe they're just counting their coins. They don't care about anything else.
All they do is talk about crypto.
That's definitely a villain. Some goals could include money or power in that order.
You need the money
to get
buy
the power.
Yep.
To get more money. What are some quirks that a guild master might have?
Maybe they play with their rings when they're talking or they're distracted.
They could be possessed by a demon.
Sure.
That would be fun. Some kind of demon of avarice.
What if they are a guild boss that is secretly working for a rival guild?
Trying to bring the current guild down?
Yeah, they're just leeching power out of it slowly.
Yeah. And then this last one is just ridiculous. They dance when no one is looking. Again, these are quirks. They don't have to make sense.
And they're good at it.
Yes.
So like the DC for the perception check is stupid high for no reason.
Oh, God. All I can hear is the song, I Want to Dance with Somebody right now. You're welcome for that earworm, folks.
Sure.
Oftentimes in a large major city, you'll have a religious leader of some sort.
Yeah, probably got a large temple.
Could be a cleric. Could be just a shaman or anybody with spiritual intentions.
Let's talk about some personalities that you find in that sort of person. They might be extremely pious, obviously.
They might be erudite, read a lot of books.
They could be glory-seeking.
Yes. And this last one is fun, celebrant.
Sure. You got a lot of party gods out there. There's no reason for them to be serious.
God of wine, yep. Seeks his cups. That'd be fun. Some of the goals could be tend to the faithful.
Destroy undead.
Mm-hmm. Stop an apocalypse or some kind of apocalyptic undertaking that has religious tones.
That's important. But also, maybe their goal is to drink wine.
Yeah, get drunk. Quirks could be talks with a speech impediment.
Maybe they just reek of incense.
Just funky.
Well, I mean, they've been burning incense for the past 73 years.
It permeates their body and their clothes.
Yep.
That's an interesting quirk. Maybe they speak to the gravestones at night, either in a creepy way or in a very like serene.
Careful, yeah.
Caring.
Like caring.
Yeah.
What if they dream of the future?
Mm.
It's the 7-year-old that grew up.
There you go.
Now he's a church leader.
That's how it works. Finally, we have a famous individual, which you'll find in a large major metropolis, and this could be any famous creature.
Yeah, could like a rich debutante.
Mm-hmm. Could be an artist.
A famous mage.
Yeah, or a bard, for that matter.
Yeah, politicians, literally anybody that could be famous.
Oftentimes, personality-wise, you could see haughty.
Sure, but they could be kind.
Could also have a depressed famous person.
Artists.
Yeah, famous artists, yeah.
Maybe they are very flamboyant.
The bard certainly is. That'd be a lot of fun. Goal-wise, they have many different ones, one of which could be compose a magical sonnet. Maybe they need specific materials.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like ink from a kraken or something like that.
Sure.
You got to go out and see and go drag that kraken to ground. Drain it for ink.
If it's a rich debutante, maybe they just need more sycophants and admirers.
Yeah, they just need an entourage.
Yeah, their entourage is too small. They need more.
Maybe they'd like to become royalty. Maybe that's a goal. And so they're looking to marry off.
Or maybe, just maybe, they're looking to run away to become an adventurer.
Mm-hmm. And now you've got an NPC in your group.
Yep.
That's a lot of fun.
that you need to keep alive.
Yes.
Because they're famous.
And if they die, it's on your head.
Yep.
Quirks could include they have a magical lute that has all the talent.
They're a terrible bard, but the lute is magic.
They suck, but the magical lute allows them to be great.
They have the pick of destiny.
Yes.
They are secretly poor.
Mm.
Not a rich debutante, not a famous artist. They're just broke.
They could be secretly a cultist.
Sure.
Lots of famous people get into strange cults.
Mm, imagine. Gonna leave it alone. Maybe, maybe you dangled the bait. I'm not taking it. Maybe they're an ex-adventurer.
And why wouldn't they be?
I mean, it's a good way to get famous.
That's true.
And now all they got to do is stay that way.
So there you have it. Four different locations with a whole bunch of NPCs and some examples that you can use to create and flesh out your town.
These are just a few examples. If you guys would like us to do more or have something specific you'd like us to cover, feel free to let us know. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, we love making these type of episodes anyway. Any questions or comments? Hit us up at Goblin's Corner on all of the socials. Did you enjoy this podcast? We've got a couple more bursting forth from our brains. Subscribe to it on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. If you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. It helps get our show in front of more people, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
Which is currently stepping forth with no shoes and a bemused expression on its childlike face saying, "Hey, mister, I can help you out." It's got a dagger in its back.
Gotta watch the urchins.
Gotta watch out for that serial killer urchin.
Exactly.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Stavers.
Music by D20.
This is a Subterranean production.